We're glad you're here. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is making a defense. These are all the same.
Oh, does everybody have one?
They do. They're good. Yeah. Yeah, it's only the lay people I actually give. Oh, speaking of late, oh, look at this. Would you give that one of those to that late lady over there?
Sure.
Are you a late lady? Yeah. We recognize you behind those glasses, you know. We have seen the real you on Facebook. Okay. All right, that's enough fun, okay? Knock it off. So I'm going to pick up with the thorn in the flesh. No, I feel inspired to do the thorn in the flesh this morning. I don't know. I mean, when you came in, I said, thorn in the flesh. Let's talk about that. He's not done yet. I'll be hearing about this later. Don't worry about it. Okay, good deal. All right. Well, in the first part of this chapter, which we covered last week, and I know that you all remember it, right? See, that's why the book is written down, so we can read it again, right? Basically, he talks about the revelation that he received 14 years previously. He was caught up to the third heaven. The Bible talks about three heavens, atmosphere, space, and then heaven where God is. And Paul is sort of sitting back and looking at himself objectively, and he said, this man went to heaven, and he heard things that are not right for a man to express. In other words, they were the very word of God. This is where Paul got this understanding of the Bible, or rather the church, that other people didn't have. Now, they gradually learned that. For instance, in the book of Acts, you see that Peter did not understand that the gospel was given to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. This whole thing about the church, remember these? Is a special entity, a new entity, not the kingdom of heaven as expressed, not the kingdom of the Jews. The Jewish people are called, they're still called, God's still dealing with them, and he's going to culminate that in them being completely converted in the time when Jesus returns. But right now, this is picking out a bride for Jesus. And it's made up of believing Jews and believing Christians, or believing Gentiles, excuse me. Anybody who believes, as soon as they believe, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in them. That's because they're born again. And the born-again nature does not sin against God. When we sin, it comes from our old nature, or from Satan working in our old nature, or trying to allure it, or tempt it, or whatever. So that's why the Bible says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled. He resides in you, but you could have him in a dingy closet in your house. So bring him out into the open and let the Holy Spirit reign in our lives. The difficulty is that our old nature is still very much alive, even though it's dead in God's sight. Dead here means separated, not ceasing to exist. But in God's eyes, that old nature, our troublemaker, that's in each one of us, okay? Now, I wasn't looking at you, okay? Honestly, I wasn't. I'm looking at everybody. Now, if I was going to pick out a trouble, oh, no, okay. But see, this old nature is always gone. It's always gone. It's always trying to take over our lives. We can't stand against that in ourselves. That's why we call in the Holy Spirit. I shared with you before, I had a friend who was in the army in Vietnam, and their job was, they were behind the lines. And so when somebody got in trouble, they'd ring them up and say, hey, we need a few shells over here. I just think of that as prayer, you know. You can't handle it, we can't handle it, we don't know what we're going to come up against every day. But you can call in, hey, we need a strike over here. The enemy seems to be pretty strong. and we pray and God answers. But we're clinging to the promises of God. We know the number to call, okay? And so we call. Does it always work out beautifully and we win every single time? No, we were talking about the Christian life the other day. You know, some people think it's this way, and some people teach it this way. Okay, you begin here, and you just soar up to heaven. You know what it's more like? Take off, crash and burn, crash and burn. Is that your experience? Hey, welcome to the world. Only welcome more to the Christian life. But if you're still crashing and burning every 2 or 3 days, let's see. Let's carry that analogy out. Let's take a look at the flight plan, okay? And you know, when these pilots, I didn't go with this guy, but my family went with this guy who had just gotten his license with a private plane. So he hands the book to my wife and says, "Okay, read that." No, but what it was about is before they take off, and many of you may know this, in a small plane, you check everything first. And there's a procedure that you go through. So he just had her read that off. And they came back. Everything was fine. We'll still be here when you get back, buddy. Okay? It's still going to be in your face. Oh, okay. I thought you were leaving the room. All right. We have this flight plan, okay? We have this game plan. And we need to study it. And even when we think we know it, go back and read it again. Every time that guy took off, they did the check, you know, before they took off in the plane. And they visually walk around, or they walk around and give it a visual inspection. Oh, wait a minute, the tail's missing. I don't think we should go. You know? So, and at the end of this chapter, Paul says, examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Now, it doesn't mean, are you saved? It means, are you in the faith? Are you walking in the faith? Are you walking by faith? You see that? Okay. So let's see what he says here. He got this marvelous revelation 14 years earlier. And when he says that it's not right for a man to say these things, in other words, God said them. I think I shared with you last week that some people teach that God is inscrutable. You know, they think that adds to his view of him as, you know, supreme, that he's unknowable. There's even a song that is that way. But when the Bible says things like that, it means that no man can figure God out. It's by the revelation of God. You don't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. And that's the same with everybody in this room. Okay, so God has revealed himself and his plan for us. This is valuable information. This information can save your life and can save your soul. So we want to really know and understand this, that God wants you to know. Paul says, we've been given this authority as apostles, he's speaking of the apostles, obviously, not to rule over you, but to help you, to build you up. We want to use our authority in the right way, you know. So let's look at what he says here. Thorn in the flesh. He's in verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Notice it's plural. There's more than one revelation. The big secret is that there is a church. But under that umbrella of the church, there are other umbrellas that are other secrets, like Christ in you is a secret. People didn't know that. And so he reveals that. And there are other secrets. When you see the word mystery or secret, as Paul uses it, understand that it was a mystery. It was a secret. And now he's going to open it up to you because he knows. He knows he's been chosen by God to do this. Listen, either buy into this or at least consider this. Paul said, Jesus Christ chose me to be an apostle. Now, we know he's the apostle to the Gentiles, but in his original calling, he was also called to the Jews and to the kings of the earth. And he spoke before all of them, but his main thrust was to teach Gentiles their standing in Christ and what's going to happen with the church. It's all good news, baby. We're going to fly. We're not just going to die, we're going to fly. Can you say fly, boys and girls? There was a kid in our teenage high school group, and she used to go like this. Go like this, okay? Do this, will you? You're not worshiping me, okay? Okay. Uh-oh, we got to hold out. Okay. I was in your... Okay, there we go. All right. All right. You know what you're doing? You're practicing for the rapture.
Amen.
There you go. That was really cool that girl came up with that. I never forgot the rapture drill. That's what you said. So there you go. So, and you know, that could happen before we finish this. Before we finish this. You understand that?
Okay.
Well, what about my sins? There's a hill far away. And somebody walked up that one day carrying your sin and mine. And he died in that place. Nobody made him. They didn't drag him kicking and screaming. He went up there to please his Father. By the way, God loves to forgive people. You know that? He loves to forgive people. He loves to have the prisoner of sin understand that door is open. And Jesus opened it, okay? He loves us. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible that God would love all of us in that manner and give his own son. You understand that Jesus, you've heard about his suffering, and it was both physical, mental, and spiritual, but do you understand what it cost a father to give his son? It isn't like God just stood there and didn't care. When he was speaking to Abraham, he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and take him up on the mountain and offer him as a... So, see, this is God putting his arm around Abraham and saying, here's the gospel, your son, your only son, whom you love. You see, Jesus was heaven's best gift, and the Father gave it, and it cost him as well. And yet he acted in righteousness. When Christ had our sin on him, he turned his back on him. Listen, if God did that with Jesus, what's he going to do with other people who come to him and think, I'm good, I'm okay, I kept the law, I gave to the Girl Scouts. Oh yeah, I got cookies back, but, you know, I did this, I did that. No. It's all about what he did. Amen?
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 Amen.
Do we need another drill? Okay. Okay. So, you know what? Some people call this good news. Amen. Amen. It's good news, isn't it? Now, the problem with a revelation like that is you might get a big head. And you might think, right? You might start thinking you're something special. And Paul is honest with us here. He says, it could happen to me. Okay, it could happen to me. And so God gave me this wonderful gift of a thorn in the flesh. Now, just being in the flesh seems to me that's enough problem, right? But here's this thorn in the flesh because it's supposed to counteract this great revelation that Paul has received so that he doesn't get a big head and become useless to God. Okay? So he did it for his good. Now, I like it. I just talked to this woman who's taking a course through Liberty, and one of the things was they're supposed to write, what do they think the thorn in the flesh was? Well, she asked me, so I gave her a four-page dissertation. No, but one thing about it that came out, it's kind of in my own thinking, was that it's not really named. And that's really cool, because it might be anything, right? It might be something special for you, might be something special for me. With me, I'm tripped up by good looks.
Thorn in the flesh.
By my youthfulness, you know. My youthlessness is more like it. But, okay. Remember that guy that used to sing, he'd look in the mirror and say, I can't wait to see myself in the mirror because I get better looking every day. You remember that song? I sort of thrive on that song. Well, that was my go-to song. I haven't sung it for years. Yeah. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Have you ever seen anything like this at all?
No.
Yeah. So anyway, to balance, and so this is a grievous thing to Paul. Some people think it was his eyes, that he didn't see well, and he might have one of the common eye diseases of that time, and so it might be that. He says it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, buffet is, you know, a couple of punches to the jaw, right? Buffet. All right, so it's going to keep him humble. It's going to make him call on the Lord to keep him strong. So let's see how this worked out in his life. Notice it was a messenger of Satan. See, anybody ever read Robinson Crusoe? Okay, Friday was his good man, his helper. And Robinson Crusoe was trying to explain Christianity to Friday. And so Friday says, he makes a very logical conclusion or question. He says, why God no destroy the devil, since he's larger than him? And that's a good question. Why doesn't he just wipe out Satan and we wouldn't have any problem? Well, he's allowing Satan for his own purposes. We don't always get what all those purposes are, but we can see some of it. Because we see in the person of Job that God allows Satan to test Job. Okay? But notice that God has complete control over how much he can do to Job. In the first place, he couldn't touch his body. He could only touch his possessions. And he did that, and he was very happy to do that. Okay? So God allows Satan to remain for his own purposes. So when something evil comes into your life that pushes you up against God, and by the way, that's what trouble is supposed to do. Not drive you away from God, but push you up against God. Make you struggle with some of those questions that you've kind of been avoiding and go deeper with the Lord. Okay? It is a good thing because it's a correction. And it says in Hebrews 12 that every child of God is chastised by God or corrected by God. Doesn't matter who it is. Here we see the Apostle Paul, which to me, he's the epitome of Christianity, humanly speaking. And yet he says, I needed this to keep me humble. And, I've heard people sometimes pray, oh, Lord, keep me humble, as if they'd already arrived. No, Lord, make me humble. Okay. So, you know, our natural inclination is to put our best foot forward, you know, like when you're dating, you know, you're all slicked up and everything, and then you get married and you start falling apart. No, it doesn't happen. Okay. All right. How long have you been married now? Oh, all right. Okay. Well, voice of experience. Okay. Okay. All right. But when you get married, one guy said, doesn't matter who you marry because everybody marries a stranger. You don't really know the person, like, completely, all right? And maybe we never can, and maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Okay, so let's see what Paul says here. Let me read it. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, could that happen to anyone? If it can happen to Paul, it can happen to anyone. People can get a big head about how much they know about the Bible. Okay? Really, that can happen, all right? And a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Now, some people will say, if you just keep praying, God's going to take it away. Paul said, I did it 3 times. And the implication is, I didn't ask anymore. Once I realized, he's saying no. For his own purposes and for my good, he's saying no. All right? Other people, oh, you keep on praying. And you'll get it. He's got to. No, you don't have God in a box, okay? You can't make him do what you want him to do. And so Paul realizes that, and he accepts it. But he also gets with it. See, when the pressure is so terrific on us, it's so that we'll see the real answer to the problem, which whether it's an immediate problem or a lifelong problem, here's the real answer. And he says, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? My strength, the word perfect here means perfect sometimes. In this case, it means mature. Your faith is going to mature. You're not going to be... Have you ever met a brand new Christian who's enthused? And I love those people, you know. I hope they always keep their enthusiasm. But they haven't had any real experience yet, okay? And they're full of joy, and they know that God's going to heal everybody. And, you know, he's going to work this out, and you're going to get all the money you need. And, you know, and it doesn't play out. And often their faith is challenged. They need to go deeper into the Word of God. You can't figure that God is the, big sugar daddy in the sky. Okay? Is he good? Yeah, he's good all the time. But he gives us what we need. And he knows each one of us intimately, better than we know ourselves. And he knows how that's going to fit, how what we really need, and it's in his word. Okay? So Paul didn't quit. He prayed three times. Now, some things you might want to pray longer than that, but he's asking God for this very important answer. Would you please take it away? And it's still there. It's still there. And so he finally accepts that. But God says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's one I can remember. And I think it's a good story. It's got a very simple message. There's a little boy on the farm. Don't stop me if you've heard this. Just the opposite of what most of us say. There's a little boy on the farm, and he did something that he shouldn't have done. And his daddy told him, he says, no son of mine that did something like that is going to sleep in the house tonight. Tonight you're going to sleep in the barn. And so the day wore on. Night starts coming on, twilight. The little boy's getting more and more fearful. And I love this. His daddy goes to him and says, I meant it when I said you're going to sleep in the barn, but I'm going to sleep with you. So whatever we go through, God is there. That's what we want to see. And sometimes, frankly, we're blinded by our own pain or whatever it is. But Satan usually overplays his hand, and he goes to the ultimate when he can, and he pushes you up against God. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret was a book I read when I first became a Christian. You don't have to buy the book. I'll tell you the secret, okay? the book was good, absolutely. But he said the secret was not allowing the pressure or whatever's going on to come between you and God, but to let it push you up against God even more. He was the one who founded the China Inland Mission. He came in one day and said, your best convert just got arrested for public drunkenness. Picked up his guitar, started playing his guitar and singing praise and worship to the Lord. Don't let it come, you know. Things can, you know, ruffle us on the surface, but I hope underneath, deeply, we're trusting the Lord. I'm saying this out of experience because when I first got saved, anything would ruffle my feathers, if you will. But to see, you didn't know I had feathers, but keep on trusting the Lord. And haven't you found personally the Lord is much more gracious than you first understood or realized? To know us intimately and to continue to work with us and build us up and keep on loving us. So God says, you know what, Paul? I'm not taking away that thing that's keeping you humble, but my grace is sufficient for you. See, you can plan and plan and plan exactly how everything's going to go, and when you get in the middle of the battle, you're going to find out, I got to call artillery in here. This is too much. I need some help here. And so the Spirit of God, I love in Hebrews 11, it talks about the great heroes of the faith. And then it talks about other people, common people like you and I. And it says that, tells how God was with them and how God strengthened them in the battle. See, you can prepare and prepare, and you should, but sometimes you're going to be in a situation where it's over our head. Lord, please come in and glorify yourself in this. So you have to understand that sometimes people think, if I'm fully dedicated to God, if I become a preacher, if I become a missionary, then everything will be cool. No more trouble. You know, some people go into the ministry with that idea. Well, no more problems. And then they face the congregation. And they got all those problems, okay? You see what I'm saying? We're not adequate. We're not adequate to do this without the Holy Spirit encouraging us, teaching us daily, renewing us, refreshing us in what he's called us to be. So Paul is, you know, he's an apostle. For heaven's sakes, you would think that somebody that dedicated and given his life, and he finally did give his life, he shed his blood for the church, just like Jesus did, only, you know, in a different aspect. But you would think, wow, that guy's got it going on. No problems. No problems. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You learning to rely on my strength is going to perfect it in you. It's going to cause maturity. You're not going to panic like you did when you first became a Christian. Oh, this is happening. Oh, that's happening. No, you're going to mature, understanding that God is with you and that he's going to provide. As you continue looking to him, he's going to provide. He's going to give you words to say that you didn't know how to say. You didn't know how you're going to talk to somebody in a certain situation, and God gave you the words. Does it happen? Can I get a witness? Do we need another rapture drill? Got to keep this crowd. Wait, we could be flying any minute. All right, there you go. There you go. There you go. So we're learning that as Paul did. But here's a counterbalance, okay? If all you're getting is buffeted and you don't have the revelation, there's something missing, okay? So you want to grab the revelation that Paul was given, and he's giving to us freely so we can understand this church thing. And we can understand our own standing, that our old nature, which wants to take over, has already said it, keep on saying it because it's still trying to take over right now. And every person has been nailed to the cross. It's dead in God's sight. In our experience, very active, trying to take over. Even when we do something good, we patting ourselves on the back. Hey, way to go, you know. And so, you know, that's the old nature, patting you on the back, because he wants to influence you to go his way, okay? So that's everybody's experience. The difference is, keep calling on the Lord. Keep calling. Keep your first love for Jesus first. Remember how he first loved you. You might want to do this. I don't know. You can do it if you want to. Obviously, you don't have to. But I was watching Kris Kristofferson on YouTube. And he wrote that song, Why Me, Lord? You remember that? And so he's in a small group, and somebody asked him to tell the story of why he wrote that. Now, this is a nice story, but it's a sad story in my humble opinion, and I'll tell you why. The words of the song are, Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Okay. So that's not really theologically correct, okay? You haven't done anything. You're saved by grace. Anyway, here's what he said. He got invited to church. The guy preached the gospel. And he said, I don't usually go to church. He's very honest. And he's lived a wild life up to that point. And by the way, he did afterwards. And that's my point. Okay? So here's what happened. He said, the preacher preached the gospel. And he said, I felt it really got him. It reached him. And he said, at the end of the sermon, the guy said, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. And he said, I looked around. No way I'm raising my hand with all these people around. This is the guy that stood in front of thousands of people singing, right? But he said, I felt my hand going up. And then the guy said, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, come forward. And he said, no way. No way I'm going forward. But he said, I found myself down front. And he said, I don't even know what the guy said. something about, do you want to receive Christ as your Savior? And Chris Christopherson, if nothing else, he's very sincere. He said, I don't know, why am I even here? And he said, get down on your knees. And he prayed for him. And Chris Christopherson said that he felt like a relief come over him. We would call it a pardon, okay? So that's very touching, isn't it? You know what's really sad? He never developed as a Christian. He still lived a wild life, okay? He's 80 now. I want to write to him and say, write another song. Write this song, Chris. Just take this idea and write this song. Are you still there, Lord? Because I believe Chris Christopherson was saved that day. But like a lot of people, he didn't develop. And nobody's going to develop without the teaching of the Word of God. And that's what the church is supposed to be doing. Yeah, we're calling people out of darkness. I'm glad when anybody gets saved, but I want to see them grow, okay? Because growing has some pain associated, but it's not the same pain of not growing. You see that? So we're not living just for right now. We're living for the future. Because, rapture drill, we could be there today, okay? And the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to evaluate what we did for him. Did we do it for ourselves? No good. Did we do it for somebody else? No good. Did we do it through the leading of the Spirit? Yes, reward for that. Some people are going to get a huge reward. Question? I would say this. I love Johnny Cash, okay? A Boy Named Sue, yeah, I got it. But he's not well taught, okay? That's my point. It's you get saved, and a lot of people get saved, and there's a lot of agencies out there trying to get people saved, but it's God's purpose to get people in the church where they start growing spiritually and understanding better, okay? Yeah, I know. But I also know a lot about him, too. And I'm not saying he was evil, okay? What I'm saying is everybody needs to develop. That's what I'm really saying, okay? So he went as far as he had knowledge as Chris Christopherson did. But, see, because the church is not either filling its role or people aren't realizing you need to be in the church to be taught. And some churches aren't teaching people this, okay? I'll say that. So that's my point. Johnny Cash saved? I absolutely believe it. I kind of think Elvis was saved, to tell you the truth. But see, you can live a life in the flesh because you don't know the Word of God, even though you're saved. You know. So Chris Christopherson, was his heart moved by God? Oh, I absolutely believe it. And I believe he went forward. You know. I'll say this, okay? Don't dissipate spiritual truth with humor, okay? I get it, okay? But listen, we're talking. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying is that these are eternal truths that people are missing and they're not developing, okay? Like some people, they come in here, but they don't develop. They need to develop. You need to learn what the Word of God is saying. Okay? All right. So, let us proceed. Oh.
Where does free will come in all that you were just talking about with Christopher Thompson? Isn't it his free will that kept him from hearing the Word and desiring to follow?
I would say that somebody needed to follow up on him. Okay? Somebody who led him there and they heard the Word of God. And that goes for any of us. If you have influence with people, you need to follow up on that person and get them on their feet. It's like he was born again and it's like a little baby. They need to be cared for because they don't know everything they need to know just to grow. Never mind, you know, the ultimate of being mature. Yeah.
Like coming in there with it, trying to take the free will and not the
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's three things against you. There's Satan himself. There's the flesh. That's our inclination. He didn't want to go forward, okay? But the Spirit of God led him forward. And a lot of times you'll find that in your flesh, you don't want to do this, but God is leading you that way. And as you do that, just like a baby learning to walk. You know, the kids fall all the time. They get up and start walking again. The other thing that's against you, too, or every believer, is the world. Okay? Most of the world's going this way. We're trying to swim upstream, you know? Maybe you've seen those T-shirts where it shows all the fish going one way, and they're piranhas, and the little Christian fish is going the other way by himself, okay? Now, that's not really true. But see, here's the deal. Most people don't realize what the church is supposed to be doing. And that's because they don't realize what Paul taught about the church. The church is an incubator for babies, okay? Even premature. To bring them up to speed, if you will, to make them knowledgeable, to grow them up, just like we send kids to school to learn, you know, normal things that people need to know, okay? So your go-to thing is the Word of God. It is the Word of God, and you can grow. You know, Paul said, when he was leaving the church at Ephesus, he said, I commend you unto God, that's the providential care of God, and to the word of his grace. When you get a teaching, say, where's the grace in this? Is this grace? Even if it's correcting me, it's God's grace correcting me so I'll walk in the right way. Okay? And which is able, this word of grace is able to build you up in your most holy faith to have an inheritance with them who are sanctified. Sanctified, see, the ultimate is God picks up the sinner and he puts him in a church where he gets educated in the Word of God, and he keeps on, and it's a process of being sanctified where you see Christ more clearly, where you're enjoying your Christian life, where you become serviceable for the church and for Christ, and then you are, ultimately, we're going to be completely sanctified. Look at it this way, three P's, don't forget this, okay? This is a good way to remember it. Number one P is you're saved from punishment forever. No punishment. Nobody goes to hell that trusts Christ. Number two is you're being saved from the power of sin right now by the Holy Spirit. That's the beginning of sanctification. And then number three, you're going to be saved from the very presence of sin in heaven. That's ultimate, complete sanctification. See, the bride of Christ is to be pure and holy, waiting for the bridegroom coming from heaven. That's what Paul said. I want to keep you as a pure, chaste virgin waiting for Jesus Christ. So our hope and our thinking and our faith is in our bridegroom who's given us his very own spirit so that we can grow into these things. And we can say no to that which is wrong and we can embrace that which is right. And it's a struggle for every single person. Did you ever hear about this girl? She's walking by and she sees this butterfly trying to emerge from a cocoon. And so it's struggling to get out of the cocoon. And so she reaches in and she pulls it out. And she puts it down. And somebody who knew about these things said, you just killed that butterfly. He builds blood into his wings by the struggle getting out. That should encourage everybody this morning, because I know you got to struggle, okay? Amen? Rapture drill? Okay. All right, we have to close. I don't know if you've heard this, and maybe you don't care, but I'm going to take a couple of weeks off, and going to do some evaluation of my own life and what I'm going to do, and kind of a private retreat. There's a lot of stuff going on. I love this church. You got a great pastor. You got a guy over here who prayed this church into existence, kept it alive. Okay. Ed Flagg, all right? Yeah, give him a round. Sometimes we don't say, you know, we're so afraid, oh, I don't know if I should ever pat that person on the back. My praises are all for God. I'm so holy. No, no, no. Encourage one another. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Ed. And I love you. If you want to call me or you want to see me on Facebook or you want to send me an email, feel free to do so. And please pray for me, that I'll go the right way. I don't know if you realize this, but sometimes I make mistakes. Okay. Oh, thank you. It's the only thing I've said all morning that he believes. Thank you.
Well,
there you go. All right. So having said that, let's ask Ed to close us in prayer.